Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbleberg Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, we're talking about the Ngara Yara Nun. Briggs leans in on healing for communities affected by Aboriginal deaths in custody. The Indigenous Sports Network proudly presents the Ngara Yara Nun healing ceremony to be held at Victoria Park on Sunday, 13 April 2025 from 12 noon. Look, it's a fantastic event and a great opportunity, a great space, a platform to help our mob dealing with Aboriginal deaths in custody. With that, I'm going to catch up and have a yarn with the event organiser and founder of the Indigenous Sports Network, and that's the deadly brother, Nathan Lovett Murray, and got the brother on the line. Nathan, good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Great to be here.
Thank you for coming to the program, my cuss. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Nathan.
Yeah, I was born in a place called Haywood in southwest Victoria. That's my mother's country, connected to Gunditjmara mob down there. And then on my father's side, I'm connected to Yorta Yorta and Wamba Wamba around sort of Shepparton and Swan Hill area on my dad's side.
Yeah, beautiful. Big shout out to you, mob. Thank you very much. Brother, here you were the Hatters event organiser and founder of the Indigenous Sports Network. Here's a platform and an event that you guys have been running. How long has this event been running for?
Yeah, look, we started the healing ceremony. This is the third year running. And the first event we did 3 years ago was a healing ceremony tribute for Nikki Wimmer, the 30-year anniversary. So we was able to put that event on for Nikki, and we had a lot of support for that. And then last year we did it as a tribute to Rumbalara and Fitzroy Stars Football Netball Clubs, two Aboriginal sporting clubs that I've been involved with. It was about resilience against racism and promoting healing through ceremony and culture. And then, this year's event, it's a tribute to families and communities affected by Aboriginal deaths in custody. So we've partnered with the Jadawal Foundation, which is run by April Day, working with families affected by deaths in custody. So, we felt that it was an important ceremony that needed to happen for families and communities. And, we've got some great entertainment of music lineup with Briggs as the headline act.
Yes.
And then the main ceremony is about, we've got 10 Victorian cultural dance groups that will perform a healing ceremony for those families and communities.
Look, brother, it's fantastic. And we're talking about the events here. We have entertainment there. You mentioned Briggs and what have you. This is the 21st century yarning circle, you could say. Getting that mob together, we entertain them, but also we talk about the space. And in this incident, we're talking about Aboriginal deaths in custody and healing over that, When we talk about over 500 deaths in custody, them numbers are high. And look, there's not a lot of incarceration for officers who created that space, So it's very sensitive, and we need a strong platform there, and we need to get the message out, brother.
Yeah, definitely. It's an important issue that's been around for far too long and still continuing, and it's something where, a lot of families and communities are affected by it. And so, the event is an opportunity to bring everyone together and, just to focus on, I guess, the healing part of it, but also, sharing those stories and calling out those responsible and making them accountable for it.
Yeah, for sure, my brother, for sure. And look, it's a free event, and it's open for families?
Yeah, it's a community free event. It's at Victoria Park in Collingwood. It's the old Collingwood football ground, so it's an important place there for our mob. And we know the story with Nikki Wimmer and the racial abuse that he went through on that ground. Was able to go back there and do a healing ceremony and have a smoking ceremony for Nikki and his family and former teammates as well. But to be able to hold this event you know, for the families affected by deaths in custody, it's such an important and significant space. And you know, we're also going to have the Mindful Mob healing markets that are going to be there on the day. You know, we've got food vans and Daddy Mamwara doing a community barbecue, and you know, some of the other entertainment. You know, we've got Crooked TP, Jaden Lillis, Aaron Morgan, and Empath Soul. So you know, it's going to be a great day for music and healing.
And it's not a black event, isn't it, Nathan? It's open for anybody and everybody. Come and feel our pain, but also come and support us, but also come and get educated in what we're fighting for, you could say, Nathan.
Yeah, spot on. Like, it's definitely that educational component to it. It's open to everyone. You know, we want allies there. You know, we've also got traditional Aboriginal games and dance workshops for children to participate in. So you know, there's a heap of activities, you know, for all age groups, and you know, but yeah, like you said, that educational component, you know, to educate people about what Black Deaths in Custody is, and I guess to be able to see and feel the hurt that families and communities are going through continuing today.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, brother, on another note, Nathan Lovett Murray, what are you doing in the four posts space? Are you doing anything, training, coaching?
Not at this point. I'm sort of more focused on the business, Indigenous Sports Network. So, you know, I started out a couple of years ago, and I'm also involved with the National Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Sports Awards. Cool. That's going to be on in Brisbane this year in November. So, you know, looking for sponsors for that event. And then also involved with the Victorian Aboriginal NAIDOC Gala Ball. And, you know, I've got a few events that I'm involved with. And
well, you ain't got time to coach, brother. You ain't got time to coach.
No, I was just going to say, I've got my older son, Nawi, he's training with Collingwood VFL. So, you know, putting, you know, a bit of energy into him. And then my younger son, he's playing basketball with Melbourne Tigers. So, yeah, no time for sports for myself. But, you know, happy to support the kids and, you know, just do a bit of training and fitness on by myself. So, but yeah, just focus on the business and the kids.
Well, brother, you're kicking a lot of goals in the business world. Continue what you're doing, my brother. Look, stay in touch. Big shout out to your team. And big shout out to all the mob down that way. And thank you for the yarn, Nathan.
Yeah, I appreciate the support. Thank you.
Take care, brother. All the best.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Our beautiful yarn there, Nathan Lovett Murray, event organiser and founder of the Indigenous Sports Network. And we're talking about what they're presenting, the Ngari Jara Nun healing ceremony. And that's to be held at Victoria Park on Sunday, 13 April, from 12 noon. The third iteration of this powerful event promotes community healing and well-being through ceremony, culture and partnership with the Jawa Foundation. And the 2024 event will pay tribute to the families and communities affected by Aboriginal deaths in custody. So a great space, you mob. Get on down there. Free event. Get educated. Feel the music. And Briggs will be performing there, as well as a lot of deadly other entertainers. So fantastic. Do join in. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Too deadly.
Oh, well, let's get this in one, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we get it spot on.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Gather round, people. I tell your story. An 8-year-long story, power and pride, British Lord Festy, Vincent Lingari, were opposite men on opposite sides.
Festy was fat with money and muscle, beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean, spoke very little, he had no bank balance, our dirt was his floor.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Gurindji were working, nothing but rations. Once they had gathered the wealth of the land, daily depression got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand. They
Woody Creek. They sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking back at the homestead and then in the town.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Bestie man said, I double your wages. $7 a week you have in your hand. Vincent said, we're not talking about wages. We're sitting right here till we get our land.
Bestie man roared, bestie man thundered. You don't stand a chance of a cinder in snow. Vincent said, if we fall, others are rising.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingiari, he boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. Daily he went round, softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life.
Vincent sat down with their big politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out. Why are people hungry? Vincent said, no thanks. We know how to wait.
From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingiari returned in an airplane back to his country once more to sit down. He told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south, in the cities and towns.
Eight years went by, eight long years of waiting, till one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. He came with lawyers, came with great ceremony, through Vincent's fingers, poured a handful of sand.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. That was the story of Vincent Lingiari. This is the story of something much more. Of power and privilege cannot move a people who know where they stand, and they stand in their law. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
National Talk Black.
It makes me feel so good to know. gate, he's there for me. For me. Reggae music gives me joy and happiness. You make me feel so good when I hear the rhythm of your beat. Hey,
reggae music.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. All right, scientists turned a common sprinkler to save endangered Queensland bum-breathing turtle. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Tom Espinoza, CEO of BMRG, and that's Burnett Merry Regional Group. And Tom's on the line. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Excellent, and excellent pronunciation too.
I'm just going to say your surname, and then it broke my jaw trying to pronounce it, my friend. But Espinoza, is that right?
Espinoza is the proper pronunciation. Yeah, it's from South America, Spanish.
South America. Okay, Tom. So you got connection from South America. How long you been on the Big Island here in Australia?
Yeah, look, my parents were political exiles in the 70s, so things weren't too good over in South America back then. But I was lucky enough to be born here in North Sydney for starters, but still maintain good contact and connection with my family back in Chile in South America. We have our indigenous people, Mapuche people over there. So Mapu means land and Che means people, so people of the land. So still maintain good connection.
Well, beautiful. And the fact that you're working in this space, working in the government space and working with looking after Queensland bum breeding turtles and working closely with traditional owners to have that done, fantastic. Black on black, you understand where we're coming from as First Nation people. But let's talk about our bum-breathing turtles, endangered species. What's going on there? What do we need to do?
Yeah, look, both of the turtles that we've been working on, the white-throated snapping turtle and the Mare River turtle, are both protected under the EPBC Act. So one's critically endangered, the other one's endangered, but probably soon to be critically endangered as well. Yeah. What do we need to do? Look, we need to do a bunch of things. These particular bum-breathing turtles have impacts on all of their life history. As soon as a nest is laid on the riverbank, there's foxes and pigs and goannas that eat the eggs. As soon as they come out, if they're lucky enough to come out of the egg and get down into the river, you've got all sorts of predators there as well, including raptors and birds, big birds that come in from the
south. Have these predators always been around, Tom?
Some yes, some no. So things like goannas, even crows have predated nests before. They're most certainly natives. Rakali as well, the water rat. But also things like the main impacts now we're seeing are things like foxes and pigs. Foxes in particular are particularly smart little animals, and they learn when the turtles are nesting, and they'll sort of set up camps and dens and things like that on the riverbanks at the right time of the year because they know there's going to be plenty of food for their little pups. So we've got to sort of address those issues. But also there's issues of water quality and things that happen in the river, taking vegetation off the riverbanks. All these factors impact our bum-breathing turtles, and the biggest one we've got at the moment is a changing climate. So we're being told that our winters and springs may have less rain but more intense rain. So part of this project was about trying to come up with a management intervention or a climate resilience action to help our little turtles, milbies.
So we're talking about global climate, you know, and that in itself, it can be going the other way. We're pushing these predators to the river towards the Queensland bum turtles, you could say.
Oh, those predators, particularly the exotic ones, they're always spreading. They're good colonisers and invaders because they can breed under many different conditions, and some of our native species can't. So they're always, all populations are always getting bigger unless we manage them.
So the Burnett Merry Regional Group, BMRG, which you're CEO of, working closely with our traditional owners to work in this space to help these endangered Queensland bum-breathing turtles, yes?
Yeah, we work really closely with all of our traditional owners in the region. We've got nine different groups, and we work closely with them where we can on a number of different projects. This particular project on bum-breathing turtles, we're working with the Tarabalung people in the Burnett River or Bundaberg region, and then we're working with the Cubby Tubby people down in the Mary River, which is more towards Gympie.
Look, fantastic. It's working with traditional owners, working on country. Look, professors in their field, when we're talking about 60,000 years, so they would have some sort of knowledge there. So it's great that you're working with the traditional owners. And then opportunity then creates job employment for our people. but also opportunity as well for procurement, Indigenous businesses as well?
Yeah, look, we're finding that the relationship, as long as it's built on trust and spending time with each other to start with, once we have that trust and that two-way knowledge sharing starts flowing, we're finding that there's so much for us to learn. So I'm a scientist or an ecologist by trade, and I've studied these species for 20 years, but what I'm finding is that the traditional ecological knowledge that we're sharing and getting from our traditional owners is something that's super valuable, and I really believe that without that information and knowledge sharing, you know, we're just not going to get better at what we do for our species and habitat. So it's super important for us to be able to build that trust, and then build the communication. Always be wary of you know, intellectual property, but what I keep saying to my traditional owners here is that, you know, if we don't share that knowledge, then how do we get better at managing these species and habitats? So that's the journey we're on. We tiptoe with problems here and there, but overall we're heading in a positive direction.
All right, and paint the picture, my friend, regarding the so-called sprinklers we're talking about here.
Yeah, so...
Common garden sprinkler we're talking, aren't we?
Look, it's probably a little bit more heavy duty than a common garden sprinkler, because we need to, you know, shoot water over a longer distance. But so we're using sort of farming grade sort of equipment in terms of irrigation sprinklers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're responding to is the fact that our scientists are telling us that the climate is changing, and you'll hear the words like El Nino and La Nina events, and you know they're Spanish words as well, so I'm very familiar with them.
Yes, yes.
What El Nino basically means is that when we go into El Nino periods, that you know, times like winter and spring, we're going to get less rainfall. And what happens with these turtles is if there's no rainfall, they don't nest for a couple of reasons. I think rainfall kind of triggers them to come up onto the riverbanks and have a look around for the females to look at. Test the sand and the riverbanks to see if they can build their little nesting chambers.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not enough rainfall, it's like building a sandcastle in dry sand. It just falls over, so they can't build their little holes. They need a bit of water there to be able to moisture in the substrate.
So we need damp soil, damp sand, you could say.
Yeah, just to dig that chamber. So what we've come up with is a pretty simple idea, but it's come through discussions with a lot of different stakeholders, but really the discussions with that we've had in the last few years with our traditional owners, we thought, well, we can have a crack at this. And
why not?
What we've done essentially set up some irrigation on the riverbanks to, number one, keep the riverbanks wet so they can dig their nests, and two, shoot some sprinklers over the river to simulate rainfall and see if it works. And so we've gotten some really good results from it.
Good. And if it works, there it is. Keep running with it.
Well, this year we got this year in June we got our for the white-throated snapping turtle or milby, we got our first nesting event that happened outside of a normal natural rain event. So we shot the sprinklers out, got the riverbanks ready, and simulated rainfall, and we found that the turtles were coming up and nesting in response. So that was a big win for us.
Yep.
In terms of getting that reaction from the species, and what it means is that in those dry years when those turtles aren't nesting or creating little babies and hatchlings into the population, we can keep the population ticking over a little bit, so we can get them to come up and nest on the riverbanks.
Yes.
And then we can protect the nests, relocate the nests, and ensure that those hatchlings don't get eaten by foxes and pigs and stuff like that, and that they actually go in the river. And we can keep those populations ticking over so they don't disappear.
Sometimes simplicity is always the best avenue, isn't it?
Never truer word spoken. Yeah, simple is best, I think, and you don't have to get too complicated. And in science, modern science in particular, we tend to complicate things a lot, but sometimes simple is just as effective.
Fantastic. Tom, nice talking with you. Thank you very much. Big shout-out to your team. Big shout-out to the traditional zone down there. And let's look after our Queensland bum breeding turtles as well as our white-throated snapping turtle as well. So good on you, mate, and thank you for the yarn.
All good, brother, and peace, love and respect to all the traditional owners out there and Aboriginal people in Australia.
Too deadly. Thanks, Tom. Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Tom Espinoza is his name, Espinoza, and he's the CEO of BMRG, and that's the Burnett Merry Regional Group, and working closely with the traditional owners down that way, Cubby Cubby people, and working closely in regarding protecting the endangered Queensland bum breeding turtles, as well as the white-throated snapping turtle, using a fundamental of sprinklers, water sprinklers. There it is. So keeping it simple. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. 1 hour program. Happy delivering your mob to Delhi.
Just think of a place that you'd like, where everything's gonna be alright now. So make way for a positive day, yeah. Let the sun shine in your life. There's one question I really love you to say now. If Jah didn't love, why would I be here today? Yeah. So why don't we give thanks to Jah?
Thanks to Jah.
Because he's the only way. Yeah, I say Cha-cha is the only way.
Your only way.
If not for him,
if not for
where
him,
would we be today? Let me sing. Cha-cha is the only way.
Your only way.
If not for him,
if not for
where
him,
would we be today? A new day is dawning. Whoa, why is there smoke in the air? Mother Earth is rebelling. Why? Before many more will have to suffer. Things are not the way it used to be now. I won't tell no lie.
Tell no lie.
Please believe in Jah
Jah. Oh, I believe in Jah Jah.
Because he's the only way. Yeah, I say, Cha-Cha is the only way.
Your only way.
If not for him,
if not for
where
him,
would we be today? Let me sing. Cha-Cha is the only way.
Your only way.
If not for him,
if not for
where
him,
would we be today? Another on the way. Before many more will have to die. Don't ask me why. Let love come running in. Here, that musical stampede. Mother Earth's mind spinning, confused with confusion. Father cha-cha is the only way.
Only way.
If not for him,
if not for
where
him,
would we be today? Let me sing. Cha-cha is the only way. Cha-cha, cha-cha is the only way. Cha-cha, cha-cha is here to stay. Cha-cha, cha-cha is the only way. Cha-cha.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan, or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it, be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
Round two for the 2025 AFL Premiership season for AFL Indigenous Broadcasting. Tomorrow from 7 p.m. Australian Daylight Saving Time, it's the Western Bulldogs taking on Collingwood live from Wurundjeri Lands at the MCG. And on Sunday from 2:45 Australian Daylight Saving Time, it's North Melbourne taking on Melbourne live from Wurundjeri Lands at Marvel Stadium. Sponsored by the AFL and the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Broadcast throughout the nation by the National Indigenous Radio Service.
National Talk Black.
Like a root boy, grip up on everybody's soothing.
treat a bad man to ya. You're a queen and I'm sorry she didn't treat it like that.
So come and cuddle up me, baby.
You need that body pan me.
Only go down.
She up on up her legs, I'm like a spider. She know all the freaky things me like that. And I got thrown her eyes when she read me, when she read me.
Bend over, bend over, bend over.
You're listening to National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, Queensland housing approvals, positive policy steps, but numbers fall short. So headway is being made on policy to boost housing supply in Queensland, but the latest regional building approvals numbers confirm there's still much work to be done. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Sharon Vella, FNQ Regional Manager, Master Builders Queensland. Sharon's on the line. Sharon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
I'm based here in Cairns.
In Cairns. All right, there is. Yep. Round the corner. We, like you said, could add a cup of coffee, a wet one at that. Thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about numbers fall short, positive policy steps, yes, for housing approvals, but still a lot of work to be done.
That's completely right.
So what do we need to do? This is a federal, state and local government coming together, all in the same vehicle, heading in the same direction, supposedly.
Yeah, look, government have, there's been a lot of changes that have been brought into construction industry over the last probably 3 years.
Mm.
And when I say that, it's like building code legislation stuff, but it certainly impacts on productivity of people being able to get these houses out of the ground. So that is one of the delays, all of this red tape that government have brought in. With the recent change of state government, they have changed some of those policy and reduced some of them, but there's still a lot that the builder actually has to get through.
So all these so-called hoops that the builders have got to jump through to get a development approval, thumbs up, a tick on the box, so to speak, is making it hard to jump through all these hoops.
100%. 100%. It makes it very difficult, and then it also makes it a lot more expensive for the end consumer to get their home.
Well, exactly, yeah. And then if we're talking about all these hoops we're going to jump through, then we're talking about lifting the prices up for the consumer, and then that could put them out of market because a so-called $500,000 home could be $600,000 home, and where's the extra $100,000 going to get, you know? So it makes it hard for everybody at the table.
That's right, and even to think like the extra $15,000 for those first homeowners when they're building, that's actually going to end in June this year.
Yeah, sure, yeah. So the gaps are closing in that sense, and then the question remains, if they're struggling now, then after June, it's going to be harder again, isn't it?
That's right. So we are talking to Gudsden about extending that, but we don't have any confirmation on any of those yet.
Okay.
But yeah, the cost of building construction has increased.
Yes.
Like 30 or 40% over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
So, of course, we're talking about all the equipment and tools that we need, and we're talking about concrete, we're talking about steel. Those prices go up, but the money coming to the table is not up to match that.
That's right, and you've nailed that on the head. It's not the builder that's making $1 million. It's the cost of the materials coming into our region.
And then we got the opportunity. Then we got the. I was going to say opportunity, but it's not an opportunity. Then we got the so-called tariff that may be put on Australia from America. That could make matters worse. So the so-called light at the end of the tunnel is is blowing out, you could say.
Yeah, it's not much light left. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So tell us about Master Builders Queensland. Are you a private company as such, or do you represent all builders in the state of Queensland, or paint that picture, please?
Yeah. So we're an industry body. We're the largest industry body, and we do represent industry and help all builders and stuff with legislative requirements and lobbying the government to make changes like we were just discussing.
So you speak for all builders in the state of Queensland, Master Builders Queensland, and so you're so you could say front line to the so-called government. From what I'm picking up, Sharon, government's not listening. Yep. Government's not listening.
Look, they haven't listened for a long time, but I'm going to be honest with you. With the recent change of government, we have certainly made some headways, but there's still a very long way to go.
Sure. All right. So I know some solution. What are you expecting to help the builders in Queensland to operate?
So to reduce some of that red tape, those hoops we were talking about that they have to jump through, push back some unnecessary legislation with the National Construction Code.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we also need to do some work with local government about getting the release of land out quicker.
Okay, yes.
You know, so then obviously if we've got more land that's available, then it's going to be a little bit less expensive.
Sure, yep.
And then possibly open those doors.
All right, fantastic.
For people to get into housing.
How we are travelling in regards to the so-called workers, when we talk about apprenticeships and bricklayers and carpenters and electricians, so to speak. How are we travelling there, Sharon?
Look, it's for a very long time, I believe that the schools have been pushing university degrees over trade.
Okay.
Probably the last 10 years. So then over those last 10 years, we've had a dwindling amount of apprentices wanting to take up the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen a slight upturn in those numbers of recent times, and I do a lot of work with the schools already, just going out and talking to them about what construction looks like and possibly career paths.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's making a difference as well, and people will understand what a great industry it actually is to get into.
Sure. Could we, there be a possibility of increasing the so-called wage for apprentices? That would help too, would it not?
Yes. Also, if the government actually subsidised some of the wages to the company, to the employer.
Yes, yes.
But then they can afford to take on those apprentices.
Yeah, true. Exactly. It is a team effort, yep. It is a team effort.
Oh, it is.
Yep. So where are you at this point in time in regarding the conversations? Like I said, one, local government need to give the land that's available. Two, state and federal need to bring down the so-called hoops they've got to jump through.
Yeah, that's right. And as I said, state's been great with the change of government.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with the federal election.
Yes.
And you know, it'll probably be called any day now, and then we'll go into that caretaker mode for some period of time.
Mm. All right. And local need to release more land availability.
Yeah, and I constantly talk to council about the issues there, and so do like UDIA or the Development Association. They're also talking to council all the time as well about what could be done better or what, you know, industry can support them with.
Sharon, thank you for the heads up. Good to be having this conversation. We do have a housing crisis in this country, if not this state, if not this city. So very important that we're having this conversation here on National Talk Black. Like I said, a national program. Government do listen to our conversation. So, Sharon, thank you for the heads up. All the best to your team. Keep doing what you're doing, sister, and we'll yarn soon, Sharon.
Thank you. You have a good morning.
You take care. Bye-bye. Adela Yarn there, Sharon Vallow, her name is, FNQ Regional Manager, Master Builders Queensland, Queensland Housing Approvals, positive policy steps, but numbers fall short. So we've still got a long way to go, and it's, as Sharon pointed out, it's a three-way conversation regarding local government, state, of course, and federal. So we need to get it together to create a space where we have more housing so we don't have housing problems. There it is. Have your say, Jan Upstrong. We are live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. National Talk Black is named the program. And steering the ship, your baldy one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry, your host. But it is your program. Have your say, Jan Upstrong. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team, to Deadly. This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black.
But I say, hey, where you from?